We don't have to look very far these days, do we, when we want to pick up on some advice of how we should live our lives. Fridge magnets, great source of philosophy these days, aren't they? Fridge magnets or social media, TV, magazines, the internet. Here's a couple that I just picked up just looking casually the other day. Do what is right, not what is easy or popular. Yeah, like that. A lifestyle is what you pay for. A life is what pays you. But one of my favourite sources of late for inspiration on aspects of living comes from a beautiful book called The Boy, the Mole, the Fox and the Horse. There's some nodding there, Jill, you've read it. It's by the Christian writer Charlie Mackesy. He does the illustrations actually for Alpha and things like that. But in there, there's this one particular quote got quoted again on Friday night at the Stalling Bus Flower Festival concert as we started that up there. If at first you don't succeed, eat cake. I like that one. And those of you who know me will know that I like that one. But the readings today are principally about lifestyle. The way we live our lives matters. It matters to us. It matters to those around us. It matters to the communities in which we live. And Jesus had a great deal to say about the way that we should and could live our lives. Being born again as a disciple of Jesus Christ, yes, secures our eternal destiny, but it demands a change in the way that we live. It demands a change of lifestyle, in the way we think, the way we behave, what we say, how we talk about others, how we spend our time, how we spend our finances, who we love and how we love. Being a believer of Jesus Christ is a lifestyle choice. It's not a moment on a Sunday that we give up when we can be bothered to or think it would be nice to. It's a lifestyle choice, following Jesus 24/7, 365. It's there all the time because we are called to change the world for the better. We're called to be blessed by God in order that we might be a blessing. And I'm sure that those of us who are gathered here this morning would love to know that in 10, 15, 20 years' time, this church will still be ministering God's love and truth to this community. That it would still be here with new people in it doing that. But you know, a lot of that is actually our responsibility. It's our responsibility for a lot of it as to whether that will occur. The way we live our lives, the way we show that love of God with other people is intrinsic to the church ministering and growing and setting people free in that joy that there is in Jesus and knowing him and loving him. Now, the PCCs have all agreed last year, they all agreed that it would be right for us to begin reaching out to our communities in new ways. Hence the new structure to our service patterns that we're kind of getting used to at the moment. But reaching out in new ways, but that does not mean that we leave everything that we used to do behind and the ways that we liked doing things before, that we suddenly ignore all of them. No, it doesn't mean that. And we are not doing that. But it does mean that we need to create new opportunities for folks who don't yet know the love of God to encounter him in new ways and in fresh ways. And that's what we are about. And it's exciting because it's something that God calls us into. We're all called into doing that. And in our readings this morning from Ecclesiastes there, we've got God declaring that he is this God of justice. But then in Hebrews, look, we've got this wonderful identification of five key lifestyle points for disciples of Jesus to be living their lives. They are love, hospitality, sympathy, purity, and contentment. Now, we could spend a long time chewing the cud over any one of those five. But for today, to use a phrase that we use a lot in our house, broad brush, Dave, broad brush. Let's just have some kind of headline, pointers on those, and you can go over and think about these in your own times with the Lord this week. Love, first of all. Paul reminds us, doesn't he, in so many of his letters, that the quality of love needs to be paramount in everything we do. Everything we do should be driven by love. Love surpasses everything. But in this context, in the writer to the Hebrews, they're talking there about love that should exist between fellow believers where there might be some disagreement over the way that they worship. That love should bind that all together. That we can have different opinions about how we worship, but as long as we love one another. You see, a church divided has no witness at all. None. So we're called to be in unity with one another. But unity does not mean uniformity. But it does mean we share a goal. And that shared goal should be that we want other people to know about the love of God that can be found through Christ Jesus and the freedom and the power and the authority that comes with all of that. Hospitality. Eastern cultures still have a strong affiliation with the culture of hospitality because lives depend upon it. When you were out in the desert and struggling, you roll up, you needed hospitality for survival. And at the time of writing, teachers, Christian teachers, and prophets would be wandering the land with no home. They needed hospitality to survive. Wensleydale hospitality is notorious. Back to cake again. But it's notorious. You know, we enjoy showing hospitality. And we've had many occasions, haven't we, where we can have the joy of sharing that hospitality with others. And we need to keep on enjoying that and blessing those in need through it. Just showing our love in that way. Sympathy. Sympathy and tolerance at the moment seem to be ever diminishing qualities, particularly, sadly, in some cases with our leaders and political leaders. We seem to be getting drawn more and more into a polarisation of opinions that allow no opportunity for blending and understanding other people's points of view. It's this or it's that, and if you're not in this, we don't want to know you. Sympathy, so important. We're told that we must remember those people who are less fortunate and to have empathy with their situations, to take action in those situations. Now, prayer is certainly action. And if you remember the teaching of Wesley, he said prayer is where the action is. Prayer is action. Of course it is. But you know, if we just leave it with that, when we could offer some practical physical help, we're not doing all that we should do. So showing sympathy and practical support and help is vital. The writer then goes on to talk about purity. Jesus led a life without sin. We can't match that. As much as we would like to. This side of glory, we ain't going to have that happening for us. But we are called to live our lives as best as we can for his glory. For his glory. That we might be living ourselves in a way that brings honour to the Lord. Do you know, in the early church, even the most severe critics and enemies of the early church often said they can't find any fault with these Christians, apart from the fact that they're Christians. They couldn't find any fault in them. Wouldn't it just be absolutely wonderful if the community would know us for that, for our consistency and our honesty and our integrity? What would the world be like, I wonder, if everyone who said that they were a Christian actually lived their lives in the power and the freedom and the authority that Jesus gives us to live them? If you thought how different the world would be. If we as church would be to rise up and actually live our lives out like we are meant to think and speak and behave, believe the way that we say we believe, act that out, be awesome, wouldn't it? And then there's contentment. Be happy with who we are and what we have. Wow, the advertising industry makes billions of making sure that we don't feel like that. That's why they exist. Isn't it? The advertising industry exists in order that we would feel discontent and want something else. There's nothing wrong with blessing ourselves with some good things or blessing others with some good things. But it's a question of priority, isn't it? Well, where is our priority? We need to be happy with who we are and what the Lord has given us. And all those riches that we've been reading in our psalm this morning. We need to be free from a love of money that allows us to be generous with it, giving it away to those who are in need, because we aren't chained by that love of it. Generous with it, helping to sustain others. And then to close, you know, those closing verses of Hebrews there. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, unchangeable. Wonderful truth. Jesus doesn't change. So there should be within us a consistency in the way that we live our lives. We walk the walk as well as talk the talk. It's a call, a reminder to us all to live our lives with integrity, to be reliable, to be dependable. And of course, there'll be times when we get it wrong. Of course there will be. We always trip up. But through the grace and mercy of Jesus Christ, we can sort that out and get back again with a right standing with God. You know, I wonder how many times have you been confronted with somebody saying, "Ah, you folks that go to church, you're all hypocrites." You know, a really good response to that is, and there's room for another one. You know, we might be guilty of hypocrisy at times, but we're forgiven hypocrites if we are, through the grace and mercy of Jesus. And why are we being called into living our lives this way? What's it all about? To be nice people? Well, there's a bit of that. But actually now we're told it's part of our worship. It's part of honouring God. If we live our lives this way, we're honouring God. It's our sacrifice of praise. And you know, the world's crying out for a lifestyle that makes sense. For a lifestyle that's real and true and changes things for the better. And it's there, right in front of their face, and they can't see it. And that's why the church exists. That we might help them and share that through love and grace and our lifestyle. And through a ministry of invitation, we can draw the people into all these new opportunities that are available. More of that next month. But that is so important that we invite others to be here with us. This afternoon, the event down by the lakeside, if you can be there, oh, please be there, but don't come on your own. Bring somebody else with you. It's going to be absolutely wonderful celebration. That ministry of invitation. So let's just take a moment then, just to pause and think on those things. On what we had read to us and revealed from the scriptures. What the Lord might be saying to us individually as well as corporately as church. Where do we as church or individuals need to ask God for forgiveness that we might move forward into new ground? How might we as church and individuals increase our expression of these qualities of a Christian lifestyle?